It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, glowing eyes or fireflies? One listener knows the dark answer. A man lives to tell his haunting experience by the grace of a guardian family spirit. And who is a little boy playing with a woman's son late at night?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802, the phone number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to share your real ghost story with us. You can run it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like the program, this is listener supported. You go to patreon.com/realghoststories. Support us there or on our website, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. Put out a brand new one every single week for you. Advanced episodes, you get those too. Whole bunch of extras as well, classic stuff. It is all there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm grit. I'm good.
Is that the Southern way of saying
no,
you're great? Is that how they do it?
It's good and great combined. So, yeah, I'm grit.
I thought it was about grits of some sort.
No, I just can't talk.
I didn't know what the hell grits were until a couple years ago.
It's good.
I'm like, what is this?
They're yummy.
It's essentially polenta, you know,
pretty
right?
Pretty much.
Isn't
it's
it?
Just, yeah, we just make it a different way.
I didn't know what polenta was until about 15 years ago or so. I think I learned that on Food Network. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw it, I was watching, and polenta, by the way, it's pretty much the same as grits. If you don't know what either are, if you're from up north like me, it's basically cornmeal with, you know, there's different ways of making it. Mm-hmm. You can make it savory, you make it sweet, you can make it whatever. I thought polenta, just being what it sounds like, I thought it was, placenta is.
Ew.
And I'm like, I was watching Food Network in like 2005 or four, and all of a sudden, like, it's like, and Michael Chiarello today is going to make a delicious herb garlic polenta. And I'm thinking, holy shit, he's going to make herb garlic placenta on Food Network in daytime?
Yeah.
That's Iron Chef shit right there. That's not what.
So gross. I know people do that, but not our kind of thing. That's no. Just. Oh, I couldn't fathom that.
So the pate that we made after Harper was really...
No.
You didn't like... I used some lavender in
there
that
was
one.
No doggy bag that came home with our child.
Did they? That's like a choice, isn't it? Like, do they ever...
They never offered...
Like a menu?
No. No.
Would you like it?
I don't think that was...
On ice?
No. Was not a choice.
Well, there you go, everybody. Hope you weren't eating while you turned on the show today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to our first story of the day. It says, hi, I called Christmas Eve. I'm being very excited after hearing your podcast at that time, which now I realize I was in just a hurry to tell you my story that I butchered it beyond belief. The story starts in the National Forest in Northwest Arkansas in the early 2000s. Two friends and I were camping in my parents' backyard in the woods and telling stories like young girls do when our tent became surrounded by white lights, dozens upon dozens of them swarming like bugs, attracted to the light. Thinking back now, I think they were drawn to our energy. My friends and I watched for a moment, a bit unsure what was going on. We first thought it was an abnormal firefly storm, but they weren't flashing. But when we gathered our courage to step outside, there was nothing to be seen anywhere, just pitch black forest in all directions. The light never came back that night, and we could never explain them. A couple of years later, I was staying in my older sister's house downstairs with her boyfriend's daughter. Adults were upstairs while we tried to stay up as long as we could. It's to be noted, my sister's house was on the same property as our mother's house. While my friend and I were downstairs, we looked outside on the front porch to see tons of red lights dancing around the porch against the house. I talked her into going outside to check on what it was, and like my experience, they disappeared without a trace. Now, many years later, I'm grown up, and I mention these stories to my sister, and she shares one with me that unnerved me, to say the least. She'd said that when she was younger in the house, she owned the family's first house on the property. She had a bedroom in the attic upstairs. At night, our parents made her put her cat outside. She'd sneak him back inside when she got to bed from the tree by the window of her room. One night, she woke up after having an awful dream about money with red glowing eyes to see two sets of red glowing eyes sitting outside her window. She had made sure she wasn't dreaming and stared for long enough to ensure that she was awake, then rolled over and went back to sleep. My wonder was, were the red lights her eyes the same as what I saw? Were they an evil form of the white lights I had seen just a few years before? Sorry for making a mess of the phone call, but I hope this strikes an interest. I kind of remember the phone call from back then. I don't remember it in great detail, but the same gist of what she just wrote in. I don't know. I mean, I know that this is like a phenomena in this or that part of the country with these lights.
Right.
Now, we saw a firefly last night for the first time, and this is April 23rd. I kept seeing, like, I thought it was lightning at first. They say lightning bugs. And I know when you see them all the time, it's not a big deal. But we're sitting there in, you know, fairly dark room. And all of a sudden, I see this, boom, this quick bright light. And I'm like, what the heck was that? Mm-hmm. And then I look at the screen and there's a lightning bug stuck to the, or a firefly stuck to the screen that was doing it. But, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
If you're from this neck of the woods, you know the difference between a firefly and not a firefly. And so I have no doubt that it wasn't fireflies, but there is some sort of weird phenomenon, like you said, around here where people see different types of orbs or ghost lights or things like that. And they take all different shapes. Sometimes they can be the size of fireflies. Sometimes people think it's like a train coming, but there's no train. So I would imagine that somehow these events are connected because they take place in the same place, but I don't know that it's necessarily the same thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. Let me get off the floor.
What are you doing down there?
Sting took one of the knobs off of our microphone processor. Oh. Like, literally, it's gone. I'm like, how did you do that?
Well, wait a day and you'll get it back.
Search the poop. I don't know what these things are, but they clearly obviously are something that goes on in this part of the country.
Yeah.
So what to make of it? I don't know. What do you think about the red and the white? Or the red, yeah, red and white.
You know, I would imagine that the red and the white are significant in some way. You know, you tend to think white is less ominous and red being more ominous. So I don't know. I kind of would like to know if there was any type of feeling felt when these were seen, if it was a feeling of peace or a feeling of dread or, you know, because that's the biggest tell in itself.
But do you think of the light that we'd seen out back? What are you telling yourself still?
It's still out there. I see it all the time. There's some light down on the golf course.
Does it move?
We'll go down there and find it this summer.
Talk. You want to venture down there?
It is something. I think it has to do with the water thing over there. You know what I'm talking about? The like maintenance building that has like a watershed or something.
Water attracts ghosts.
No, it's not a ghost. I mean, it's water. There every single night.
You think it's in the water treatment plant?
Yeah, I think it's over there.
Could be.
Because there's more activity over there with people now, so they might have added a light.
Maybe.
All right, we'll go figure it out.
I just like to act like I'm not quite sure.
I'm so confident that is not paranormal. I am willing to go and find out what it is.
Okay.
So there.
Go find out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, my grandmother would tell me the story to explain our rich family history with the Polynesian Islands, a history that even delves into legend. To begin my story, or rather my grandmother's story, you need to know a few things about my family. There are names that only my family can use, those names deriving from popular legends of Samoa. My grandmother would tell me that outsiders need to ask permission to use these names, else a curse will befall on those who are named. One of those names is, I'm not even going to try saying it, not because I fear a curse, but because I'll butcher the name. This figure is the king of the underworld. The underworld being the land beneath the sea, or an ancestral home, which is called. The ruler of the underworld has two sisters, who would later come to the aid of my grandmother's brother, my uncle, who was named after this figure. He was deployed somewhere in Germany after a night of heavy drinking. He made his way back to the barracks. He wouldn't make it back safely that night, as he explained to my grandmother from a hospital, but he was alive with a tale to tell. Somewhere along his trek to his bed, a group of German soldiers jumped him, beating him until he was within an inch of his life. As he was bloody and nearing a state of unconsciousness, he began to think of his home, his family, and how he wanted to see it one last time. For a relieving moment, everything seemed to stop. No longer were the fists pounding him. There was no pain. He managed to open his eyes. The soldiers were being thrown about, beaten from what seemed like nothing for a moment. Fear struck him. Whatever was attacking them would surely come for him next. Then he saw two women with long hair using the long threads from their heads to send these men flying into the nearby walls and to the floor. They held clubs and wore traditional Samoan clothing. My uncle realized the two women were the sisters of this figure, answering his call for help. The two sisters who swam for the Polynesian Islands to rescue him from his near-death experience. By the grace of our ancestors, he lived to tell the story. Thank you for taking the time to read my grandmother's story and sharing it on your show.
So, just as there can be a curse, it seems like there can also be a protective spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
It's watching out. I wonder if anyone else had seen these figures, the women with the Marvel hair that were able to.
The Marvel hair.
Is there a Marvel character yet? I don't follow Marvel or anything like comic for that matter.
That uses its hair?
Yeah, as like their weapon.
Not that I'm aware of, but I don't really know.
Harp should invent that. She likes that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be like, yeah! And she'd want to grow her hair real long and start trying to fling people around with it.
She'll just whack in the face with her hair.
Exactly. But I wonder if others who had maybe been walking around at the time would have seen those figures, or if it was just something that only he could see because it was from his family, if you mm-hmm. will, or from his protection.
Yeah, like it only kind of materialized for him or people of his ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing to think about. Thanks for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I should mention tickets on sale, if you haven't heard yet, at the Crescent Hotel. We're going to be there August 11th, right? 11th
mm-hmm.
Of 2019, Crescent in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And we're going to do a live episode of this program with you guys in the audience sharing your ghost stories, and an episode of The Grave Talk. It'll be all about the Crescent and Eureka Springs. We'll talk all about the various weird, bizarre, creepy, strange, funny, it's a town with one hell of a story.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghosts that haunt it. It is a haunted town, as is that hotel. And we'll be talking with Keith Scales about all of that as we do a live episode of The Grave Talks. $25 a ticket. You obviously have to find a way to get there, but once you're there, you're going to love it. Maybe make it like an end of summer, you know, kind of last hurrah, if you will, before the kids go back in school. It'll be a fun time. Somebody asked me the day about, can kids come to this? It's kind of a parental choice. I'd say the content's going to be, you know, PG-13. There'll be bad words, probably.
Yeah.
You know, I will keep... I'm not going to take my clothes off for this one. That's... that's when I'm going to do the Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm doing that one with no pants.
Yeah.
So that one's a little...
No, a little different. I mean... If your kids don't get scared by this stuff,
yeah,
and you're not worried about what words they may hear, which it could be any of them, then it's, you know, it's your call. I wouldn't advise young kids, though.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go for like an overt swear fest or anything, but I mean, it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be over the top, but it's, you know, who knows? There may be some words, you know, spoken when somebody's sharing a story or whatnot. And the content of it itself, just the ghost stories. I don't know what the stories are going to be until we're there. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be, getting those live. It's not going to be really pre-screened all that much, other than I'm going to ask the folks who are attending in advance, hey, who wants to share their story? So we can kind of plan that out a little bit. But I don't want to know the details till we're there live. So anyway, tickets, $25. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. Go there to click and go to the link through Eventbrite, and you can purchase them. Limited amount. Once they're gone, they're gone. So if you want to be a part of this, do get your tickets before they sell out. It's going to be a really fun night. We're going, obviously, because we kind of have to. It'd be kind of weird. Like, hey, come to the event. Where's Tony and Jen? Not there. It's just cardboard cutout or something of us.
Right.
And Carol may be coming. We'll see. But it's going to be fun. Make a weekend of it if you want. I know the Crescent has some special hotel rates if you tell them you're going for the Real Ghost Stories Online event. So you can check that out through the Crescent. But there are plenty of lodging options there in the city if they run out of rooms. So do check it out. It'd be fun to meet y'all. Look, I used this y'all in a sentence there in August. So it'll be a fun night. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com for more info on that. Let's go to our next letter. It says, in the fall of 2001, my three children and I moved into a recently finished basement apartment. When I'd gone to view it, I wanted it right away, simply because its location, around the corner from my school. My two eldest kids attended, a few blocks from the college I was attending, and the on-site daycare my youngest son attended. The apartment had three bedrooms, a split living dining room, kitchen, and bathroom. All the bedrooms and bathrooms were off the living dining area. My daughter Mary, who was 7, had her room, while my two sons, Ty, who was 5, and Adam, who was 3, shared one. My bedroom was beside the bathroom at the far end of the living room, while the kids' rooms were at the opposite end with their kitchen between their rooms. I think it means bedroom between their bathroom between the rooms. Anyway, we moved in a few days before Halloween and loved the place. It wasn't until about 3 months later when things began to happen. One day, the kids and I went shopping at this huge mall the next city over from ours. We spent the whole day out and got home just before dinner. When we got home, we were all exhausted. Adam was pooped and fussy. He wanted a snack, but I said that dinner would be short and he had to go play until then. He refused and began to whine and cry. I pretended I didn't hear him and put some groceries away while he stood just outside the kitchen at the table and continued to scream. I walked back to him, pulled out a chair, and sat down so he could be level with me, and he burst out laughing. His face was red, tears were all over his face, but he was laughing and pointing. I turned to look at what he was laughing at, and a cupboard in the kitchen was swinging open and shut, open and shut, then slowly shut with a quiet tap. He stared for a minute, then turned and went into his room, as if asked to. I still to this day cannot believe I saw that with my own eyes. After this, it seemed as if all hell would break loose. A few days after that, I began to wake in the middle of the night to what sounded like someone shaking the shower curtain. The bathroom was right outside my door, but I hadn't seen anyone go in. When I got up to check, I found a shower curtain on the ground in front of the tub. I put it back up and went back to bed. This happened every night for the next couple of nights, and only at night. I thought that maybe seeing as everything was new in the house, that the shower rod didn't have enough spring in it to keep up. I went out and bought a new one. This bathroom, when you walked into it, had the tub along the right side of the sink and counters along the left with a toilet tucked into a cubby-style space at the head of the tub for privacy. I put up the new shower rod and thought I'd fixed it. That night I went to bed and again was awakened. This time I was so scared I didn't want to get up. When I did, I found the shower rod with curtains standing on one end behind the toilet. I returned to my room, closed the door, and sat with the lights on until morning. During the day, when my kids were at school, I would sometimes go home to do schoolwork as I found the college too nosy. I would be typing away with earphones on, and suddenly, I'd get so scared I would throw my laptop on the couch and run outside like an idiot.
I'm just thinking it's a noisy college, not a nosy college.
Is it? Well, it could be nosy, too.
Noisy.
Nosy?
Okay.
Nosy, noisy?
Maybe.
Say that three times fast. Mm-mm. I dare you.
No, I can't even say I'm good. I'm grit today. So
grit good, nosy noisy. Sounds special. There I would stand at the side of the house, sometimes for over an hour. Just as I was beginning to think I was losing my mind, something happened with my son Adam, and this is my reason for thinking that whatever this was attached to him and followed us to the other house after this house. I awoke one night at 2 a.m. and I could hear Adam talking. Our bedrooms shared a wall, so I could hear him talking and figured that he and Ty were up playing. I snuck to the door and pushed it open, and Ty was sound asleep with the top bunk dead to the world. Adam sat on his bed, a pile of dinosaurs on his lap and another at the end of the bed. He looked angry. When I asked him what was wrong, he said, "Mom, I don't want to play with dinosaurs anymore. Can you tell the boy no more?" "And you can tell his mom to stop staring at me? She never smiles." He was pointing behind me at this corner, but there was nothing there. I asked him, "What boy?" And he said, "The boy, he can't pronounce his name because it's a weird name." Scared half to death, I said out loud, "No more dinosaurs," and pretty much ran from the room. I was so scared that night, and I cried from fear. The next day, I decided to ask Adam more questions. He told me that the boy and his mom came into his room and that the boy never had toys, and that is why he liked his stuff so much. He said that he didn't like the boy's mom because she just stared at him and never spoke. Just stared. He said that a long time ago, their house got burned and that the boy and his family were scared of the wolves that came near their house. Adam was a couple of months over 3 years at this time. The things he was saying blew my mind. He said that the boy bugged him to play all the time and bugged him to always put on a specific Disney movie about dinosaurs. He said that the boy woke him up all the time to play, but he didn't always get up to play. A few weeks later, we moved with a classmate of mine was looking for someone to share her house with. I thought it would be the end of it. Well, I did for the first few weeks anyway. There was another time when a good friend of mine was visiting from out of town. We stood in the kitchen, and while I cooked dinner, I decided to tell her what had been happening. The kitchen was tiny, and with me at the stove, she stood right behind me, to the right a bit, leaning on the counter. I didn't look at her while I spoke, but stirred dinner. She told me that she believed me and understood, having had an experience herself as a child. When we turned to leave the kitchen, two cupboards were standing there open, as if blocking us into the kitchen. Sure, I was scared, but did my friend ever go pale? The weekend visit was cut short, and she left that night. A friend of mine from college who came to visit one night mentioned that the garage and the cold cellar creeped him out. I found that interesting, as he hadn't mentioned anything about the apartment. The same friend, while spending the weekend at my house to care for the cat while we vacationed, told me that the one night, while asleep in my bed, he'd awakened feeling scared. In the darkness of the room, he said it felt as though something was hovering right above him. But he was so scared he didn't dare open his eyes and look. He also suggested I mention the light in the cold room, which he said flickered several times, to the owner of the house, but I didn't. Our house also came down with a bad infestation of mice, even though I had a cat who loved to hunt. That's the story of that house that we lived in.
I'm honestly wondering if it is the same thing. Because it doesn't, she didn't say that the little boy, her little boy, mm-hmm. saw the other little boy anymore, or the mom. And yeah, the cabinets opened like at the other house, but that's pretty common. That's one of those things that's easy for them to manipulate, and they do that fairly often. So I'm wondering if it's not so much something followed them, but it's just something popped up at this new location too.
Same thing, just hanging out longer.
Yeah, but I mean, not necessarily like it's the same thing from the first apartment followed them to the house.
Okay.
I'm thinking there's just more than one thing going on.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Maybe I think some people are just kind of magnets for this stuff. And especially if the boy is sensitive enough and he's seeing these things, mm-hmm. they may be seeing him going, oh, he sees us. Let's go talk to him.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're a ghost, you probably don't really discriminate. It's probably not super common that you're running across people who see you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this one does. You know, it's like, it's a kid. Oh, well, he sees me. He can communicate. And, you know, that's kind of where you're probably at. So, especially if you're a kid, mm-hmm. you know. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi. I'm relatively new to the podcast, but I really enjoyed it. And I haven't really told my story very much due to the fact that I know a lot of people aren't believers. And it makes me nervous telling it, but it's something that's probably, you know, good for people here, and I hope that maybe somebody else hearing it will kind of reaffirm, you know, it happening to them, because I know this happens to a lot of people. So I didn't find out till I was an adult that I come from a family of sensitives. So we're really sensitive to things that are supernatural, and but as a child I had no idea of this. I've had actually many accounts, different things happen, but probably the one that's one of the most significant and most terrifying in my life was when I was about 13. We had moved into a newer, well, not a new house. It was built in around the 1920s. We had moved into that, and I had an odd feeling from the moment we moved in. Didn't know why, but just tried to kind of brush it off. Always had just the feeling that something was there. And my parents were very into antiques. They constantly were buying antiques and bringing them into the home. And my parents went to an antique show, and they brought in a mirror and a piano and a couple other little items. And right after that, things became progressively worse in the home. It was like the whole house changed. And being about 13, I didn't really understand why at the time, but I just knew something was different. And the progression was so quick that I actually spoke to my mother and father about it, and they weren't real big believers in the paranormal. But I went to my grandmother, and I told her what was going on. It was little things, such as things moving in the house, not being able to find things, my pictures turning around, and it was all kind of around me. Everything was around me. And my grandmother told me that, you know, that it was because I was sensitive, and we came from a family of sensitives, and this was the first time I had ever really heard about it. And she told me, you know, not to be afraid, to pray about it, and if need be, we would bless the house. So I continued to kind of go along about my day-to-day routine and go to school, come home, do homework, everything to that extent. But things got worse pretty quickly. I started having nightmares, and I became afraid to sleep in the dark. I had sliding glass closet doors that began to open and close on their own. So I became terrified. I started actually having my mother sleep in my room with me, and she thought it was a little ridiculous because I was 13, and you know, there's no reason a 13-year-old really needs her mother sleeping in her bed with her, but I was so afraid to sleep alone, I just could not sleep, especially in the dark, because I would see shadows and movements, and was just terrified. So she ended up telling me that, you know, that I need to stop being afraid. We put a little lamp in my room that would kind of glow, and it wasn't really bright. It wasn't a nightlight, but it wasn't a super bright lamp either. And that helped for maybe 2 days. And in that time period, it went from just things moving, doors opening and closing, to a day I can remember very, very vividly. I got in the shower. I just got back from soccer practice, and I remember I heard banging on the walls and banging on the door outside, and I was terrified. I thought somebody had broken into the house, and I had the door locked. So I grabbed my phone, and I called my mom, and she had my dad rush home. And when he got home, there was nobody there. They blamed it on old pipes, saying that maybe it was the pipes in the house banging, and that's what I had heard. But this began to happen every time I was alone in the house. I would hear the banging on the walls and the scratching. And so I went back to my grandmother and I told her everything that was happening. And she set up to have the house blessed, but then my parents refused because they didn't think anything was going on. They thought it was all in my imagination. So we continue to kind of go through this. I'm terrified. I don't want to be home alone, which I was home alone quite often. And it went, I mean, as far as I think the last real straw was I was in my bedroom brushing my hair. And when I went to walk away to go out of my room, the hairbrush actually flew off of the dresser and hit me in the back and left a relatively large welt on my back. So at that point, I had a friend that was a friend of the family come over, and she started to bless the house, and she put some like blessed stones in the house, and things got better for maybe a week or two. And then one night, I was sleeping, and I had my mother come in because I just could not sleep, and she, you know, she decided she'd come in there and sleep with me since I was so tired, and she was tired, and she was, you know, didn't want to fight me, so she came and laid in bed with me, and I woke up, and I remember it was about 3 a.m., and I woke up out of a dead sleep, and I sat straight up, and at the end of my bed, there was a probably 8-foot tall, dark figure standing there, not staring at me, but actually staring at my mother. And I was so afraid. I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I could not do anything. And I just remember that I didn't know what to do. I was terrified, but it was just looking at her with such hatred and this just horrible malice. And you couldn't see a face. That was the weirdest part. It was just like it was a feeling. You could feel the malice coming off of this creature. And so I sat there and I stared at it for a minute. And then I remember nothing else for the rest of the, like, I woke up the next morning and I remember nothing other than, you know, that dream. And, or it wasn't even a dream. I mean, I know it wasn't a dream. I remember very clearly being awake. And I told my mom about it. I showed her where it was standing, and she still didn't believe me. So I as I got older, this literally things like this happened until I was about 16. And the activity would go from, you know, good to bad, good to bad. And my family and I went on vacation, and we had my aunt stay in our home. And this is when my parents finally started to believe me, because she stayed in the house and ended up only staying for a night because she said that she felt something staring at her from down the hall. And every time, she said she was terrified to leave the bedroom, and she ended up shutting the door, locking the bedroom down until the morning, and then she left, and she refused to come back into the house alone. So we did end up eventually having somebody else come in and bless the home, and the activity eventually got better, but it never completely went away. And then I moved out of the house. And later, years later, after my parents sold the house, my father finally did come around and tell me that he had felt things many times in the house, that he would just randomly feel angry, or that he had seen things very quickly moving. And but, you know, he brushed it off because he was not necessarily a strong believer in the paranormal. And so he never acknowledged it until later. He did finally tell me that he knew that I was telling the truth, that all these things were happening, and that he had heard things and seen things, but, you know, he didn't want to believe that those things were actually happening. But that's basically my story. It's one of many, but I'll try to call in and give more at some point. I have two little ones running around, so it's a little difficult. But, yep, we had something very bad in the house, and I did find out later the people that moved in have also reported something, so we don't know if it was in the house or if it was one of the antiques they brought in, but whatever it was not nice, and it tormented me for quite a few years. So that's my story. If you have something like that going on, do not let anybody tell you that it's not happening, because it does happen quite often. You're not crazy. It's just, and it's terrifying. There's no not fearing it. It's terrifying. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to my story. Love your podcast, and have a great day.
So I was hoping they were going to be able to narrow down which antique it was.
So you know what not to buy?
No, but just so that they knew, you know, which item they needed to figure out what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that it started up around the time those things were brought in, but not necessarily tied to it because it stayed. So, and I'm assuming they didn't leave the antiques when they moved.
when you buy antiques, not that you buy many antiques
anymore.
When you would buy antiques, mm-hmm. did you ever think of that prior to doing this program? Like, I mean, you've always, you know, been interested in ghosts. I would think, you know, mm-hmm. there's some of thought of that there. But did you ever, like, I guess what I'm getting to is, did you ever buy them like singly rather than buying a whole bunch at once in case something would have happened to be like, oh, damn, I bought 10 things this weekend at the antique store. Not that I remember you ever doing that, but just say you did. And, you know, in case one of them had something, you could, you know, narrow down. Like, I only bought one thing, and that must be what?
No, I don't remember ever deciding.
Strategy?
Yeah, strategy. I mean, when you're sensitive and you're antiquing, it's not just, oh, I'm buying this object. You're buying the feeling that you get from it.
Okay.
That's why there's things I avoid and I won't even touch.
Like what?
Not specific, like a category of things, but like there's times where I will see something in the antique mall and I'm just like, I don't get a good vibe from that and I won't even touch it. And it doesn't matter. It's not like it's only mirrors or only dressers or something mm-hmm. like that. It's just some things have a bad vibe. But I also feel like some things have positive energy too. And I don't buy them specifically for the energy. It's just, it's more than just when you go to Target and you buy something. You buy something that has an energy with it.
So you buy an object at Target that has no past to it other than it being made.
There's no good or bad tied to it with me.
Just there?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's been handled by a lot of people?
Well, but the thing is, there's not usually an emotional connection to something that's still being sold at Target.
So you're good for mirrors at Target, but not the antique store.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. And I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it's like this extra level of intensity when you antique as a sensitive.
Will you pick up the objects that you feel positive energy from at the antique store?
Sometimes. Or sometimes if I'm interested in it, but okay. I definitely avoid things that I feel like are bad.
Could there ever be something that looks really ominous and spooky that has a positive vibe to it? Do you ever have that?
Yeah, but if it looks ominous and spooky, I'm not going to touch it anyway.
Okay.
Because then I have a negative vibe myself.
What I love is my favorite thing that I've seen at an antique store, and I've only seen it like twice, but it was in the same antique store on the same day, and it's only happened once, were two casket carriers.
Yeah?
It was in Wichita at the Paramount West.
Okay.
And it's a giant antique store there. And it was the old, they're like accordion type style things that, mm-hmm. that they, you know, they wheel the caskets on. Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen, they're like, this would make a really interesting coffee table. Because you could put, you know, something on there. Like, what is this? Because it's such a weird looking contraption. And I'd never seen it in an antique store, but there was two of them in there that day.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder if somebody ended up, you know, buying these at like a closeout. Auction out of a funeral home or something, and that's why there happened to be two at that.
Yeah,
in that setting. I just did an interview the other day with a gentleman in Kansas, Kansas City area, and he has a place called the Haunted 1904 Church, and that'll be an upcoming episode of the Grave Talks, and we talked about that place, and we were talking about the settings of, you know. Can you draw things out based on the, you know, the staging of a location, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, we're talking that in some cases, yes, that's true. But I said, okay, let me ask you this, though, because I was looking at his Facebook of the 1904 church, and they had a casket up on like the altar area or up towards the front of the church. And it's not an active church anymore. I said, what's the deal with that? Like, what are you trying to draw out there? He's like, oh, that's nothing. That was just a friend of mine went to an auction at a funeral home recently and picked up a couple caskets thinking, oh, that's a great idea for Halloween stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to store that in my basement for Halloween.
If we found a really good deal on a casket, we couldn't.
I don't think so.
Couldn't keep it? Just
no.
Break it out every once in a while?
No, I don't think so.
That'd be a weird thing to find. I mean, it can't, although I guess they can be used. Everybody thinks like, oh, casket, if you have it, it's not used. No, touche. It could very well have been used because there's quite, you know what I'm getting to here?
People that have like a wake and then they're cremated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple standard, like, interchangeable caskets there that, you know, Bernie was sitting in last week, and this week it's Lucinda. And
nice.
That's what you get.
No.
I wonder how well they clean that stuff.
It's probably not really a problem of, like, residue, you know?
Dead people ooze.
But, you know, they go through such great lengths to prepare them for the services.
Sure.
That they've fixed all that.
That'd be a great prank phone call to, like, Stanley Steamer or something.
Oh, God.
You know, those people that come and, like, clean your couch?
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, this is Phil down at Phil's Mortuary and More. And
More.
They also do ear piercings. Mm. And they sell puppies. And that's the and more. And we got this one. We got this casket that I'm trying to think of a different name to describe casket to kind of play it out a little bit longer before you actually get to saying this is a casket. Mm-hmm. It's resting couch or I don't know. Resting box. And, you know, it's been working really good for us for a long time, but I just cannot get the smell out of it. I don't know if we had an oozer or what last weekend. You know, I think it might have been that. Do you have anything that would help get some of this out? Let's see where that goes.
That is so gross.
That's totally what I should have done when I was 16 on the radio.
Yeah.
I thought I'd run through like every damn screwed up idea that I could do for a prank call. But as an adult, I just have this new, like, I need to just do this again and make a YouTube channel of just prank calling people.
No, there is no end to your screwed up ideas. But don't start that again. It's one thing when you're 16, you know, and the tagline is that boy ain't right. But now, you know, 20 years later, you're just creepy if you do that shit.
That man is creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Well, if you're 16 and you want an idea for a prank call, go for it. I didn't tell you to do it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Support us. Keep us on the air. Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories or ghostpodcast.com. Two options, same stuff. You get all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, ebook, everything right there. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.